These two brothers right here are some of the most talented and hardworking producers releasing music at the moment. Guy and Howard Lawrence have gone from making music in their dad's old attic to collaborating with some of the world's biggest artists, like Lorde, The Weeknd, Mac Miller, and even Mary J. Blige. Now, any producer that manages to collaborate with some of the music industry's biggest names knows a thing or two about networking. And Disclosure are using a strategy that some of the biggest producers are missing out on. They started off using their dad's old music equipment, and as you'll see, they found a way to bring themselves all the way to the top. I've closely studied Disclosure's production style and collaboration techniques and figured out the main steps they have taken to consistently create hugely popular tracks. Let's get to the bottom of this. For myself and Disclosure alike, music is at its best and most fun when we're writing it with friends.
I think when we work with Sam and Jimmy as a team, we just work really well together. We write like the music that we're most proud of and that we think is... We just enjoy it. You know, it's such a fun thing just being in a room with your two mates writing music.
You can see the joy in Guy and Howard's faces there. And making music in a positive environment definitely comes across in your music. Attention to detail and working hard will come a lot easier when you don't have to go to so much effort. It's all about the process, so we should try and enjoy it as much as possible.
As we've gone on, we've kind of settled into our different roles. I mean, when we first started this, we both kind of did a bit of everything. You know, we both did production, we both did the actual songwriting side. Yeah. Whereas now we've, you know, Guy does a lot more of the production and I do a lot more of the songwriting, just because that's what we both prefer to do. You know, we can both do the other way around, but it's just Guy prefers doing the production and I wanted to work more on songwriting on this record.
After making music with your friends for a period of time, you'll get into a system and a process that suits each of you individually, and together that will create the synergy that will allow you to write even better music in shorter time. Find your strong point, whether that's the chords or the percussion or maybe even the mixing, and stick to it. The final results will only get better and better.
We kind of do it in the old-fashioned way, you know, like sit around the piano and mess around with a few ideas and get a beat going and then maybe come up with like a subject that we want to write lyrics about, but they have to be there, you know, if you want to.
I think the easiest way to describe it is that whoever is singing just becomes part of the band for the day and we write together as a band.
Find the process that suits you, whether it's writing the song acoustically first on your guitar or making a loop and then trying to write lyrics and melody over it, and that initial spark will be far easier to come by. Collaboration is great for the creative process, but what about when you're working on your own?
We were just influenced by what we're listening to at the moment, which is a lot older stuff, to be honest. So 90s garage, house, Detroit techno, but mainly garage and house for the album.
The only two guarantees in life are taxes and being inspired by old music. At least that's what we've seen from our last few videos. Taking inspiration from genres that aren't popular at that moment in time can be a great help to you in finding something unique. Take your favorite sounds, inspiration for some of the lyrics, and of course the grooves and the different rhythm patterns that they're using.
We listen to like every type except like maybe some really, really heavy metal or like
Brazilian stuff. We've been listening to a lot.
Listen to a lot of Brazilian music recently. Everything from Brazilian jazz to minimal, brutal German techno. Mm.
How could your music not be unique after listening to that eclectic mix? Setting up collaborations or even getting inspired can be very difficult when you're not in the right frame of mind. It's important that you shouldn't put too much pressure on yourself to achieve that instant success.
Luckily, I think we had a kind of slower ascent. People think it's really quick, but it's not really. Like, we've been doing Disclosure for nearly seven years now. And each step at a time, you know, it wasn't just like latch, famous. It was like loads and loads of little songs, and each time, you know, it kind of got better. But I think when you're pushed into that enormous fame very quickly, it's quite difficult to deal with.
Having a long-term build-up of momentum will be much more beneficial to you in the long run. Over time, your skills will improve, you'll be a little bit older, and you'll be able to deal with the fame a little bit more. Slow growth is definitely a positive. You can keep working on your skills, and that will stand to you when your fan base grows.
To have a better idea of how to make an album flow now, you know, it doesn't have to all be the same speed house music, you know, the whole time. It can go from like 100 BPM to 130 to 85, and you know, peaks and troughs and sad songs, happy songs. So I think we just have a better understanding now of how to make our records flow, you know, better, especially when working with loads of different people.
Along your journey, as you're growing slowly, it's important to keep releasing music. With each release, you'll gain a new set of skills. And when you're releasing music of a high enough quality, who knows, a big artist just like Disclosure might come to you and ask for a collab. If your music's not out there, no one can find you.
My friend sent me a link to this guy called Jordan Rakai, who's like on Masterpiece, And yeah, that was because my friend came out here, lived here for a year and saw him singing in a bar or a little venue. And he sent us the EP, or the band camp.
Yep.
And just bought it, and us and Jimmy Napes, like, we all loved it. And, you know, then it was just like a tweet away. And yeah. Then he came to London, and there was the song.
So please stop searching for perfection. Having a track finished and out there is way better than spending 2 years of your life trying to get one perfect track. There's so much more to releasing music than the music itself. So get going on your next release, and let's keep improving and learning. And now onto the valuable production advice. Guy has been streaming over on Twitch for the last year or so, and he hasn't held back on sharing all his knowledge. But let's take a look at some of the gems he's given away.
I often write chords in, like, with a melody on the top of them. It's like part of how I write chords is I like hear the top note of the chord and think how I want the melody to go based on that note. And then I rearrange the notes underneath that after doing it. So I end up with these chord progressions that have like a melodic top note. So yeah, loads of our songs end up being written as a result of that top note moving around.
This is a super effective way to write chords and melody at the same time, especially if you play piano.
The main synth is the weirdest part about this. It's something we've only used once and never since. It's this free synth here called Sinister. And yeah, got it for free. I'm pretty sure you guys can all get it for free. And we wrote arguably our most successful song ever with it, so.
This is another reminder that we don't need fancy equipment to make chart-topping songs. There's so much free gear online that's worth checking out.
Boom bap rhythm, boom bap, boom boom bap. But we got some nice flamming going on. So much off-grid. I mean, look at this. It just looks like The Matrix, doesn't it? Doesn't look like anyone's really, anyone's drawn anything in here. I can't see. This guy, just this one guy, he's on the grid, but not even every time. Yeah. It's truly, truly random, which I love.
One thing about Disclosure is their drums are so authentic and unique. Having this sort of flam drum effect where the transients hit at different times really adds to that. It's great for keeping the listener engaged and makes them feel like they're in the same room as you. So definitely worth trying out. Just like we learned from Charlie Puth, layers, layers, and more layers. That's what production's all about.
We've got some fun little sounds. Chain drop. I don't know what this is. Do you remember this, Howard? Oh, yeah, it's just a little like a little twinkle thing. Dial turn comes at the end of the second chorus. Oh, yeah, it's just like a camera. I've got a sample pack of like some old vintage camera noises. That's that. Yeah, just going through sample delay to make it super wide and stereo. Without that, it sounds really mono like this. With it. There's a water drip noise as well. LFO full.
That's sick.
You like that?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
You into
all.
That, yeah. Ooh. It's in there.
Yeah.
And there's something called bamboo.
That sounds like mouth.
So yeah, so as you can see, a lot of sounds in there, just very subtly in the mix.
Little bits of ear candy, and then sometimes you can't even hear the bits of production, but they add so much, and you really notice it when it drops out. Multiple layers can give such a lovely texture to the track. And speaking of texture,
there's also some all-important rainforest noise going on in the chorus of Talk.
Yeah, I forgot we put that in there.
And just like Phineas, Disclosure are big fans of this sort of atmosphere, real sounds thrown into their tracks at a low volume, just giving that extra bit of texture to the track. So it must work, right?
So you hear how ahead those Rhodes chords are.
If you have multiple synth layers, having them hit at different times and making sure they're not fixed to the grid can really make them feel alive and add that extra bounce to the track, if that's something you're looking for, of course.
So it goes from being very mono to very wide. That's like a nice little trick to do on a chorus if you're trying to like make it sound bigger. Instead of adding more or like turning the volume up, you just go from mono to stereo. That's a nice little trick. You can do that on the RC20. It's got a width knob on the bottom of it. You can go from mono to wide really easily. But another good way is to use effects like flanger, chorus, phasers, whatever, just turn them on for the drop.
This is definitely one of my favorite tips that Guy has given away in his live streams. Especially in pop music, being able to differentiate between the verse and the chorus and really bringing the chorus to a new level can help so much. And maybe that's a bit more of a mixing technique, but do try and keep the verses a little bit narrower and then you can go mad wide panning in the chorus. It's super effective.
I personally don't like my sub of the kick clashing with the sub of the bass. It's just wasted energy down there. You know, you're not really going to perceive it in a noticeable way as a human. Maybe elephants would enjoy it, I don't know, but human beings not so much. So yeah, kind of I pick one or the other. Have the bass of the sub coming through and have a punchy kick, or if you have a subby kick, you know, sidechain some of that sub out, get it out of the way.
Keep those low frequencies controlled. Say it louder for the people at the back. There's nothing worse than a muddy mix. I'd highly recommend checking out Disclosure's Twitch channel, as Guy and Howard are live regularly giving out some fantastic music production advice. They're two unbelievably talented musicians we can learn a lot from. If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to hit the follow button so you'll get notified when I release more episodes. All right. Hope you're keeping well. Cheers.